Hey, this is Ali Ciardo in the Photo Field Notes podcast, and this is episode number 132, How to Handle Bad Weather as a Photographer. And thank you to @SnapStarPhotos on Instagram for messaging me and recommending that I number my episodes finally. I said when I got that message, it's such a simple, stupid thing because I'm always like, oh, go back and search for this episode or referring to different episodes. And I started the podcast, I don't think I ever actually thought that I would get up to 132 episodes. I just never thought it would last long enough that I would have to number my episodes. So thank you, SnapStarPhotos. And if anyone else has any suggestions, questions, whatever it is, I love having feedback on the podcast. I love having you involved in the podcast, getting your quotes, getting your questions. So definitely message me. You can message me at @PhotoFieldNotes on Instagram, and I would love to incorporate that. So before we get into everything, I have a couple of quick updates for you. First of all, I've gotten a lot of requests since I launched the Virtual Product Sales for Wedding Photographers course with Designaglow. So it's in partnership and on Designaglow's website. And since I launched that course, a lot of you reached out to me and you said, well, I'm a portrait photographer, not a wedding photographer. So what should I do? Should I buy the portrait style guide? Should I take the wedding course? What do I do? And it was confusing. And honestly, when we first launched it, we weren't originally planning to do the portrait course or style guide, but I do use it in my portraits. And so what I did was I worked with Designaglow. They put together a new portrait style guide. So that's the magazine that I get that I mail out or I send digitally that gets everybody excited about products. And then I did actually work with them to create a specific portrait course that talks about how I price for portraits, how I approach portraits. It's the exact email scripts that I use to sell my portrait products by virtual sale versus being there in person. So no in-person sales. It's like a great blending between selling products, but not going crazy, having no time and spending all your evenings with clients. So you can now access all of the Designaglow collaborations that I've done, all of those products at photofieldnotes.com/shop. So go there, you'll see the link to all of the virtual product sales courses. They're all kind of on one site. You pick what you want. And there's also a quick access to the product mockups that I've worked on with Designaglow. So some of the separate product mockups that you can buy separately and use for social media or use for your website. Everything's there. Check out the shop. It's updated. I'm also giving away a mini portfolio critique, and you'll see that in the shop too. So photofieldnotes.com/shop. But I just launched this and I'm giving one away. So let me give you just kind of a quick overview of where this came from and what it is. So when I started my associate program, I had associates all over the place. They all lived, I think there was like one in the actual area that I live in, and the other two lived an hour plus, like an hour and 15 minutes away from me. So we weren't always able to get together after every single wedding and go through every single photo together. And that's what I used to do when I first started out as a second photographer, a third photographer. I would go pretty much after every wedding to the photographer's studio. He would sit me down and he would go through the whole wedding with me. And it was the most amazing experience for me because he would say, okay, you see this image? This is what you did really well. Here's what you might tweak just a little bit to make it better. And it just made absolutely the entire difference in how I shoot. And so I wanted to do that for my associates. I wanted to be able to give them that personalized feedback, but we couldn't meet in person. So what I started doing was, as I'd pull their photos into Lightroom, I would go through and pick out a few images and record an actual screencast of me walking through and giving that feedback on, this looks amazing, keep this up, this looks great, here's something that you would tweak with this, whether it's the focal length or where you position them or how you mix the lighting or whatever it is, or the prompt that you're using, whatever it is that can make those photos even better. So I was giving them these short, like 10-minute videos, giving them that personalized feedback. And I realized, hey, this made a huge difference for me, and I think it would be really helpful for other people. So I'm launching these mini portfolio critiques. You can send me a smart catalog in Lightroom with 25 or up to 25 edited images, and I'll put together a short video where I give you constructive tips, where I talk about technical feedback, your lighting, your focal length, your camera settings, your composition, your depth of field, your white balance, your post-processing, all whatever is relevant to that. And then also talk about the visual impact. So like how you're posing your clients, how you're positioning it, the emotional appeal, anything that's relevant that will help you kind of create a nice cohesive portfolio that's really going to help you attract clients. And so I'm giving one of those away. And to enter, you can go to photofieldnotes.com/giveaway. Let me make sure that's right, because I want to make sure it's not contest. Yeah, photofieldnotes.com/giveaway. And you can sign up there through March 11th, 2019. And then for an extra entry, you can go to @photofieldnotes on Instagram. And on any post, you can just tag a friend who would be interested in the Photo Field Notes podcast. So I will announce the winner on March 11th. Okay, I know that's a lot of announcements, so let's get into the episode today.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Okay, let's talk about bad weather as a photographer. I know some photographers will tell you that they shoot in any kind of weather, and I will admit that my willingness to shoot in bad weather kind of tends to go up during the busier season when I have less dates to reschedule for, like late fall here in Michigan when I have the most sessions going on. But generally, I want to talk to you about how I deal with bad weather. First, I went on Instagram and I set up a poll so that I could ask you, do you reschedule your photo session if it's raining? 50% of you said, no, you don't reschedule. And 50% of you said, yes, you do reschedule. And then I said, do you reschedule if it's overcast? And 100% of you said, no, you do not reschedule if it's overcast. So, okay, let's go through it. For portraits, I have a line in my contract that lets clients know that I am reserving the right to reschedule if I don't think the weather is ideal for photos. So it leaves it really open-ended for me to make that decision. If it's supposed to rain or if it's supposed to be really overcast and super dark, I can technically just call it and we can choose another date. Because ultimately, most of the outdoor photos that they see on my site are those golden hour photos, and that's what they're hiring me to take. So I want to do everything I can to take those photos for them. And I remember talking to my friend Steph Smith, and I think she went to a workshop, and the photography team talked about how they would cancel photo sessions if it was overcast. And at the time I was like, that's insane, but overcast, I love overcast, it makes for the best photos. But as I really came into my style and I realized that I love to place the sun at an angle behind my clients, I love that glow, the nice golden light, and I realized that I really would rather photograph sessions on sunny evenings if I can. So now when it's a day before the session, I'll check the weather. If it's looking like rain or really cloudy or really windy, I'll usually just text or sometimes email, and I'll say, what's the latest that you need to reschedule if it looks like rain tomorrow, or, you know, fill in the blank, wind, whatever. So some people who have hair or makeup appointments, they need to reschedule right away, and other people will be willing to wait it out. So we will just pick a new time to check in with each other and make that final decision. So based on how willing they are to wait and kind of risk it, we'll say, okay, let's check in at noon tomorrow, or let's check in. Yeah, we'll check in at noon tomorrow. And then at noon, we might be like, well, it's really hard to tell. Let's check in at 3. So we might take it right up to that moment and make that decision. But ultimately, I really want to go for that nice weather. If it does look really overcast, I'll reach out and first I'll explain that it's going to be really dark. We won't have that golden hour glow that they see in a lot of my photos. I'll give them the option to reschedule or possibly just to move the session a little bit earlier in the evening so that we at least have a little bit more light. It's not so dark. And then the expectation is set. So they know what they're getting. They can make an informed decision on whether or not to move forward with the session with the given weather or to reschedule. So I'm making sure that they always have the option to get the quality of photos that they see on my website, even if that means rescheduling. And the same thing goes for wind. So wind isn't as much of a factor here, and I've only now rescheduled twice for wind. Of course, once was earlier this week. But later in the fall, the wind really picks up here. So I had to postpone a session because it was supposed to be something like 17 knots. 17 knots of wind. And I didn't really have any context for wind until I started sailing, but I know that if it's 17 knots, for me, I'm going to be in the water in a sailboat. So I know that your hair is going to be going crazy. So I just reached out. I explained how windy it's going to be. Basically said, your options are you can use extra hairspray, hope for the best. You can pull your hair back for the photos, or we can reschedule. And then two days ago, I told you I rescheduled. So it was supposed to be something like 15 degrees outside before wind, and then 15 knots of wind. It was supposed to feel like negative 5. So I just reached out and I texted and I said, hey, here's the situation. It's going to be freezing cold. You're going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be really windy. If it was my session, I would reschedule. and then I kind of offer up my calendar and look at other dates. That covers, you know, rain and wind and overcast days for portrait sessions. But what about weddings when you don't have the option to reschedule? So the first thing that you can do is you can prepare your clients to buy clear umbrellas if the forecast looks like rain. And I actually have this in my Bride Guide Autopilot series where I have one whole email is dedicated to preparing them for what to do if it rains. So that's one of the tips that I give. So if it's just a sprinkle or it's kind of based on their judgment, you can still take them outside with the umbrellas. You can still get some really great photos. But next, I think you need to get really comfortable with your lighting, your off-camera lighting. So even in the worst case scenario, where you're inside all day and maybe the location isn't that pretty for photos, or you just don't have a lot of open, beautiful spaces for photos, you can still get really creative. So like for bride and groom portraits, you can still shoot in really close with a single light, with an Octobox or an umbrella. You can kind of put that at a 45 degree angle, maybe use it with a reflector on the other side. Or get really crazy and put the light 45 degrees behind them with a, like, behind the bride or behind the groom with a grid and make dramatic photos. Or just put them really close to a window with a reflector and stand on a chair or have them sit and then shoot in close. So you're just getting those kind of like close-in reactions. And obviously at some point you're going to have to take those full body pictures or those group shots. So having a plan to make sure that you know how to light them if you're inside, that you're not stuck with no natural light taking terrible pictures. So you have to know how to use your flash, your off-camera flash, and be able to work in any situation. So know what you're walking into, be ready for it. If you're in a venue with dark or wood ceilings, you're not going to be able to bounce a flash off the ceiling. You have to know how to do off-camera lighting. So also be prepared with a rain plan. We can't predict what the weather is going to be, but we can look at the forecast and we can get a pretty good idea. So if it looks like there's a good chance for rain, start thinking about photo location backups. If they're able to travel somewhere else away from the venue, if the venue is not great for indoor photos, figure out if you can find, I just kind of have my go-to places in town. So maybe it's a covered porch. It's maybe a nice hotel lobby or something that's really easy to get to. It could be a greenhouse of some sort. So we're lucky here where I live because we have the Capitol building, which has a huge covered porch. Michigan State University has some really nice covered areas that I know I can use in a pinch. But I've also had couples who have called specific places to see if they could get permission to shoot there, like as a backup. And I found that the places are more likely to say yes when the bride calls directly versus me calling, because it's kind of a more sympathetic situation when the bride calls. You can also look into partnering with a local studio and use their space as a backup if it looks like rain. So I'm finding around here, at least, there are more places that have the pay by the hour or pay by the time block, so that you can book it in advance if it looks like rain that day. Make sure that you have that plan in place. You might have to pay it as a kind of contingency plan. So you don't necessarily need a whole studio setup, but see if you can find something that's really simple with white walls, concrete floors, or something really unobtrusive, maybe something with natural light. Just make it really easy so that you have that in an absolute pinch if it's easy to get to. And obviously you've talked to your couple about that. You can also, I said already, greenhouses. So look into rules for the local greenhouses, nurseries that sell plants where you have some color, but you'll be covered. But do just make sure that you're checking ahead of time so that you're not just bombarding them and they're like, what are you doing? And then just be willing to be flexible. So I've only had one wedding where it poured all day long with no break. But you can usually find a window where you can sneak outside and get photos without rain. And if you're pretty sure the rain's gonna come during one part of the day and not another, you could even make a couple kind of quick rearrangements to your plans ahead of time. But otherwise, it's just be willing to jump outside during good weather windows and make it work and, you know, always have a plan, have a backup plan, be prepared. And I don't think I mentioned this, but also, if in some cases you can use that rain as an asset, like of course the beautiful rain photos outside in the dark where you put the flash behind them and kind of light up those raindrops. So it's not always a bad thing to have rain. Sometimes it ends up creating really beautiful images. So take advantage of that to get creative and make the most of it. And get your couples and your, well, I guess, because I don't really shoot in the rain with portrait clients, but get your couples excited about it. Yeah, I think the only way I would shoot in the rain with portraits would be if I was doing like a documentary shoot and it was kids with boots on and they were like stomping in puddles or something like that. I think one of you said something about that. I can't remember. Sorry that I'm not giving you credit. You said something about how that was one of your favorite shoots, was a session where everybody was like wet and in puddles. And I love that idea, but you have to go in knowing that's what you're going for versus a client who hires you for sunny golden photos and then you're like, oh, hey, it's raining. So if you're documentary style, I think you can be a little bit more flexible with all of that. All right, so that does it for today. I'll be back here in 2 weeks. Everybody take care and I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.